3 years ago this month, a curious first unfolded here in Michigan. That's when a 600-acre county park just west of the Mackinac Bridge became our state's first international dark sky park. So what happens at dark sky parks way up north, outdoors, in the middle of the night? One can only imagine. But due to their locations away from city light and often near water, dark sky parks offer enhanced opportunities to see, study, and enjoy the night sky and everything in it. To learn more, Current State welcomes Mary Stewart Adams. Mary is the program director of the Headlands International Dark Sky Park near Mackinac City. Mary, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Those of us in lower Michigan might think everywhere up north is better for viewing and enjoying the night sky, but your park has received this designation, an International Dark Sky Park. What does that mean exactly?
Well, to confirm, there are dark skies all over Michigan. That's one of the wonderful things about our state. But to get designation means that you've been recognized by the International Dark Sky Association, which is located in Tucson, Arizona. And they are one of the only organizations established to protect dark skies around the world, and they set up a very specific criteria that you have to meet in order to qualify in their designation.
What's a couple of the key criteria?
Well, for us, it included writing an ordinance specific to the property that was stricter than the existing county ordinance regarding the light, and then we also had to be nominated by a member of the International Dark Sky Association, as well as get letters of support from the community. We had to inventory all of the existing light and create a master lighting plan that demonstrated how we would bring everything into compliance, and then also what kind of programming we would do going forward to raise awareness about the importance of having natural darkness.
How interesting. Where is the park exactly, and can you describe the setting for us?
Yes, I can. We're exactly 2 miles west of Mackinac City, so if you're headed north on I-75, you turn left before you go across the Mackinac Bridge, and that situates us in one of the most spectacular places in the state, which is right where the Straits of Mackinac curve south into the Lake Michigan. So the Headlands property, it's called the Headlands because it juts out into that piece of water there. So south of the property, you have what's called Cecil Bay, and then due west of it, we have Waugashon's Point, which is the end of Wilderness State Park, and then going west and north, we're looking over the Straits of Mackinac where they meet Lake Michigan.
Yeah, one of the other advantages here is all the shoreline. How much shoreline is there around the park?
We have 2 miles of shoreline, but also Emmett County owns the Magalpin Point property, which is just north, so there are several miles of shoreline along this area that's all been protected. So it's really beautiful for walking and for stargazing, for picnicking. And the marvelous thing about it is that the commissioners have made it possible for, the Emmett County commissioners, that is, they've made it possible for this to be public land so that people can come any time of day or night. There's never a charge. And it's just a wonderful gift, actually, for the community because it's rare to be able to find that amount of public shoreline.
So what might you see at your park at night that you might not see elsewhere?
Well, the statistic from the International Dark Sky Association is that almost two-thirds of the residents of the U.S. now live where they can't see the stars of the Milky Way at night. At the Headlands, you can see the Milky Way every night when it's clear, when there's not a lot of moonlight. We see all of the constellations that are visible in the Northern Hemisphere. We have a beautiful array of shooting stars when the meteor showers are peaking. We also get to see the northern lights regularly and any of the other phenomena that are happening in the sky around us.
Mary Stewart Adams is our guest here on Current State. Mary is the program director of the Headlands International Dark Sky Park near Mackinac City. Mary, you got involved in this in part because of your passion for storytelling and cultural lore and so forth, and you focus on connecting the night sky with storytelling. Talk to us about how you do that.
Well, the thing that's most important about that to me is that when you combine this fact that most people are living where they can't see most of the stars at night, and we're not being taught the star names and the star lore, you can see that we're being kind of, it almost seems systematically cut off from the cultural history of humanity, because in every age of man, some of the leading research has always been this striving to understand what is our relationship to the stars overhead. If you go back to the ancient Egyptians and the Greeks and even in the Middle Ages and then into our own contemporary culture, you can see that there's always been this reaching into the sky to understand how can knowledge about that teach me about who I am? So what I like to do, especially because I have a degree in English literature, is build up that understanding of where we are in contemporary culture based on the poets and the artists and the scientists throughout history to build a context. So when you're there in the dark and you're experiencing this beautiful array of planets and stars and celestial phenomena, you have something that's connected to the striving of humanity to kind of say, yeah, I actually saw that painting of Venus and Mars by Botticelli that came out of the Renaissance, and there's Venus and Mars in the sky. Or I saw the I read that poem by Byron about Jupiter as Zeus and the mighty thunderer, and there's Jupiter in the sky. So it's a really fulfilling experience to be able to encounter it culturally as well as scientifically.
And you're constantly connecting with what's happening up in the skies, and the constellations are obviously, they're always kind of shifting position over the months. What's happening here in late spring and summer that you're connecting with your programming?
You know, there's something really exciting coming toward us this Saturday, May 24th, and it's that there may be a meteor shower that has never been seen before, first-time meteor shower, which is unusual for us, you know, to find something that would be visible to the naked eye that human beings have never seen. And this is connected with the comet 209P Lanier, which was actually discovered back in 2004. But this comet just recently went as close as it can get to the sun on the 6th of May, and then on the 29th of May, it will come close to the Earth. But in between those two dates, we're going to cross over its path. That will cause shooting stars for us. So that's Saturday morning at between 3 and 4 a.m. is the peak.
That is so fantastic. I figured every meteor shower I'm aware of is has been around and predictable for so many years. This is actually potentially a new meteor shower.
A brand new meteor shower, yeah. Yes, that we've never seen. And the really remarkable thing about it, to me too, as a person coming out of the cultural sphere, is to think about, all right, well, how do we name a meteor shower? Because in ancient times, when the idea was that the Earth was fixed at the center, the meteor shower was regarded as a gift coming toward humanity from a divine being like Perseus or Orion. And so the meteor shower was named according to that being. But then when you get to the 1500s and Copernicus introduces this idea that the Earth is not at the center, then the convention becomes, well, we'll name the meteor shower according to the center point that the stars seem to shoot from. So this is called the radiant. And you say, okay, well, the radiant of the Perseid meteor shower is in the constellation Perseus. So we continued to call it the Perseids. This particular meteor shower, because of its location between Ursa Minor, the little bear that holds the North Star, and the constellation Camelopardalis, is being called the Camelopardalids. But I've been kind of a lone person standing up here in the dark saying, you know, we ought to call it the Copernicids, because May 24th, when it peaks, is the anniversary of the day that Nicholas Copernicus died.
Oh, my. How interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
Are people coming to the park specifically for this purpose? I mean, is the what's going on after dark a draw?
Absolutely, they do, and they come from the local community all over the state, all over the region, and all over the world. People are hungry for night sky. They're hungry for a connected experience with it. And how great is that to see something that's never been seen before? So we've been getting calls from around the state about where can people stay, what time do they need to be there. We're expecting quite a crowd because it's going to be clear. At least the weather forecast says it's going to be clear that morning.
How exciting. Emmett County's is Michigan's only international dark sky park, but there is at least one other park where the night sky is a priority. Lake Hudson near Adrian, Michigan, is described by the DNR as Michigan's first dark sky preserve. Tell us about Lake Hudson near Adrian.
Okay, well, Michigan is really wonderful as states in the Union because it was the first state in the United States to protect its dark skies, and that was in the mid-1990s with Lake Hudson State Park. And they recognized that they had this asset and this resource that people wanted to have access to. So the interesting thing about state parks is that typically they close at dusk and you have to leave. But with Lake Hudson State Park, you can stay out overnight and experience the darkness.
I see.
And the sky. So when we got our designation for the Headlands as an international dark sky park by this entity that's out of the state, What happened was the success of that designation supported the ability to increase the legislation that protects Lake Hudson State Park and add an additional 23,000 acres to it. So there's several other state parks included in that.
Very good. Mary, we're out of time. We got to let it go. Mary Stewart Adams from the Headlands International Dark Sky Park near Mackinac City. Many thanks. Good luck.
Thanks for having me.